Just a heads up, the Razzball Football Podcast might not be for all audiences. You have been advised.
Show might make your muscles start to spasm. It may even cause some acute orgasm.
It's the Razzball Podcast. You need fantasy help.
Well, we think you prefer us. We rock the mic so hard we should ride in the tour. Make you shoot all down your leg like your Plaxico Burris.
It's the Razzball Podcast. It's the Razzball Podcast. It's the Razzball Podcast. It's the Razzball Podcast.
It's Razzball, baby.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the final fantasy football. I didn't even start it right. Welcome to the last Razzball Fantasy Football Podcast of the season. And I assure you, the reason I didn't get it right had nothing to do with the fact that because it is the last episode of the season, I am drinking a delicious Moosehead beer. And I believe, as my co-host JB Gilpin just said, if that's not Canadian, I don't know what is. Hi, JB. How are you?
I'm good. Not as good as you are. Getting a Moosehead all up in you.
Wow, that sounded weird.
That's a sentence I never thought I'd say. But hey, I never thought I'd be doing a podcast with such an esteemed Canadian either.
I'll tell you, me and Scott, the super producer, were actually just waxing nostalgic because this was our first year doing the podcast. We did baseball all season long and then football all season long. It's our last one for the season. And Scott and I just aren't going to see each other this winter. It's very sad.
Yeah, well, how often do Canadians actually see each other in the winter when they're buried in?
See, you're funny, but we live in Toronto, which is kind of like the California of Canada.
actually, all right, whatever you say, man.
Hey, I'll tell you this. I don't know what the current temperature is. It's probably about 50 degrees. I don't think.
Yeah, it was warm down here in North Carolina. It was mid-70s.
And there's no snow on the ground. And
I'm not here either.
So, listen, we're doing pretty good up here, eh? Considering there's no hockey going on, the fact that we've gotten this far into the winter is pretty darn good.
So, has there been any 2012 talk in Canada with the association that there is no hockey? And maybe that's the, harbinger of 2012?
No, the Mayans just ran out of rock to bang out their calendar on, so...
Yeah, and the Canadians ran out of ice to hit their pucks on.
So, JB, we're going to do a slightly different format. First of all, if you are in the finals of fantasy football, congratulations. We won't even talk about the fact. We're not going to get into this, JB, because there's a lot to discuss today. So, yeah, if you're in a final, good for you. I'm not. Lost both semis, so there you go. But if you are, congratulations. Of course, you are always going to get all the great information at Razzball.com. Click on the fantasy football icon, and all our wonderful writers will help you get through your final week. That being said, what we're going to look at this week, we're going to discuss a few headlines, but then JB's going to give us 10 up and 10 down, and that's players that he likes or doesn't like next year, and I am going to kick the snot out of him because I've had a look at this list, and I think he's not quite right.
Are you just mad because David Wilson isn't one of my ups?
No, that's... it's going to be an interesting situation next year. Yeah, listen, I don't know how long... Well, let's not go there. I was going to say, I don't know how long Bradford is good for, but Andre Brown will be back, so it might be a messy backfield. But I tell you what, JB, I'm going to throw the headlines over to you this week. So what do you want to talk about?
Well, I mean, just on a grand scale, what a just absolutely bizarre and out of left field kind of week. I think this might have been the most bizarre week we've seen this year. What is your thoughts on that?
I tell you what, it was a great week for football. I didn't get to watch the Sunday Nighter.
Disappointing. I actually watched the whole thing.
All I know is I heard it was a great game, but
fantastic.
Some of us have very sick 2.5-year-olds, so we were up with sick children.
All right. Well, I hope them well. But yeah, I mean, back, you know, just some really crazy performances. If anyone had said they thought the Cardinals were going to beat Detroit by 28, yep, they would have called them crazy. If you had said, you know, I don't have the numbers in front of me, but it, you know, 10 or 11 of the top 30 guys would have absolute zero type games, I would have called them crazy. Just a really all around crazy week.
You know, I'll tell you this. Someone hung up in one of my semifinals 183 points on me. I've never seen in the scoring format we use, I've never seen a score that high. So that's the kind of week that it was.
And it's the kind of week where, you know, you have Roddy White, Reggie Wayne, Jamal Charles, and Matthew Stafford. That looks like a great core on paper, and nada.
So, you know, it's funny. I actually texted our esteemed football editor, Sky, this week with a couple of questions. One of them was, should I start Matt Schaub or Russell Wilson? And I was back and forth on that all weekend, and my gut kept saying, start Russell Wilson. But I'm looking at it, and I said, look, it's the semifinals. I can't go for gut calls. Schaub's playing Indy's defense. It's a little bit leaky in the secondary. But I just had a feeling about Russell Wilson against Buffalo. I didn't start him. Now, I still lost that other semifinal because of that. But, boy, Russell Wilson. Huh. I'm surprised he's not. Well, I don't want to give anything away, but let's assume he's not on your up list for next year.
I do like him a lot. I think he's a fantastic player. I just, you know, you look at two straight 50-point games for Seattle. Yeah, Russell Wilson went absolutely off this week, but the week before, you know, they absolutely crushed and they didn't need him. Yeah, it's not that if Seattle had six injuries on their defense next year, I think he could be an elite quarterback. But I think that defense and Marshawn Lynch is going to keep them at such a consistent output that they're not going to really need him to have those kind of huge rushing and passing games.
We will see, my man. We will see.
Yeah. Man, I tell you, one thing that really got me was, you know, just that game in Oakland, Janikowski. I mean, I know it's so funny that these games that have no meaning are just so bizarre and they win fantasy games. And, you know, Jamal Charles, no points. It's just crazy week. Sorry.
Yeah, no, Jamal Charles was on one of my teams.
yeah, that's disappointing. I mean, the case of these blowouts, the Atlanta 34-0, New Orleans 41-0, the call I probably got the most grief on and Sky got the most grief on was our thoughts that Josh Freeman was going to be a great fill-in for RG3 just looked terrible.
Yeah, and how about Baltimore's offense? Oh my gosh.
Yeah, that was the game I watched the most of in the 1 o'clock time slot. And, I mean, it was just pulling teeth. And, you know, that throw that he had at the end of the first half, Flacco, that was pick six from about 98 yards out. I mean, it's just so telegraphed. Just everyone is just not on the right page. You know, I don't have him listed in my downs, not to give away our my up and downs for next year. But I'm a little scared for Ray Rice next year.
All right, so any more headlines, or can we get into this column? Because you got some
Panthers.
Interesting
news. Let's go, Panthers.
All right,
playing when it doesn't count. it's so mind-bogglingly head-scratching, you know, cliche that it's, why are they just not playing like this all year? Doesn't make sense.
No pressure. No pressure now.
Yeah, that's probably what it is. If Cam has no pressure, he does great, so...
Football's a funny game. I mean, look, you play 16 games. In baseball, you play 162. Speaking of the Toronto Blue Jays, no, I'm just kidding. We won't call
it that. What do you think about Dickey going there?
I think he's going to be fantastic in that dome. No pun intended. You know, I'm actually really excited. I don't want to go pissing on the prospects the Jays gave away, but there definitely has been a lot of prospect porn in Toronto. But I'll say this, Alex Anthopoulos always said, look, the plan is I'm going to build up a farm system and then deal the guys appropriately. I think they've got a top rotation, great batting order, great bullpen, and they still have a stock system. So I tell you, I'll be watching a lot of Blue Jay games next year.
It to put it in football terms, it smells a little Philadelphia Eagles dream team-ish to me.
You might be right. All right, without further ado, let's get to J.B. Gilpin's 10 ups and 10 downs, players you're going to love or hate in 2013. I'm going to start at the top of the list. On your ups, you got Sidney Rice there. Before you say anything, I was going to say it's interesting because I always avoid guys with injury histories like the plague. I had Hakeem Nicks on a couple teams this year. I probably will not own Hakeem Nicks next year. Sidney Rice, interesting choice, especially when you just made that counter Russell Wilson argument. Explain yourself.
I think Sidney Rice is not only one of their best deep threats, I think he's also one of their best possession receivers. He's obviously their best all-around receiver. I don't think that can really be disputed. And with Wilson, you know, having a little bit more free reign early in games, I don't think what my point was, I don't think that they're going to have him run as much as we've seen lately, and I don't think we're going to see him get those kind of comeback or junk time type touchdowns. Not really junk time, but kind of the end of the game, like that New England comeback or that late drive against Chicago a couple weeks ago in overtime. I think that Rice obviously has the injury risk. He's always had injury problems, but I think 2013's Russell Wilson is going to be the best quarterback he's had play with him since whatever the year was when Favre was actually good with the Vikings.
So what do you think? Maybe 80 catches, 1,000 yards, 8 TDs? Is that the upside next year?
Yeah, something like that. That sounds pretty spot on with what I could see him doing with a full season of Russell Wilson being the obviously he's been the starter all year this year, but with that extra season under his belt and that rapport that's been growing this year.
All right, and then where would you typically get someone like that? Are you hoping, because now you're trying to get him as a value pick, obviously, because you're up on him. Would you look in maybe 7th, 8th round you could grab a Sidney Rice?
I think he's going to be further down than that. I think he might go as late as 10, 11. Obviously, it's kind of tough to say right now. There's going to be offseason moves, obviously. Probably a couple rookies filter in there. But I think he'll go into the double-digit rounds, and I think he'll be great value there.
Next guy on your list is Sam Bradford of the St. Louis Rams. You know what? I like Bradford. I think he's shown some maturation this year. I think he finally has some weapons there, which I think is the big thing. You know what? I was big on Sam Bradford a couple years ago. I still think the upside is there. I'm curious what you're taking, why you think he's an up, but I can definitely see it.
Yeah, I think his upside is going to be your second quarterback in one QB leagues that you can draft with virtually your last pick. I don't think he's going to be drafted very highly. With Chris Givens, Brian Quick, you know, they're both rookies. Give them an extra year. There's the hope that Kendricks evolves at the tight end. You obviously have Amendola, who is going to always have the injury question marks, but that's, you know, someone that will be there. We've seen them chuck the ball a lot more efficiently this year. Jeff Fisher's a good coach. He's had pretty good passing offenses like Steve McNair. I remember that 1 year Billy Volek leading people to championships. He was on all my teams that year. So I think there is some fantasy goodness that could brew there. And as your QB2, bye week fill in, or if your guy gets hurt, I think he could end up being maybe a top 12, top 11 QB next year.
So in one of the keeper leagues I play in, you get to keep three keepers plus one rookie every year. It's a 12 team league. I have some pretty darn good players. I got Arian Foster, Ray Rice, AJ Green. So I traded this year Cam Newton in midseason to get some parts to help me out at other positions. And I'm starting to think that the next guy on your list, Cam Newton, is a guy I'm going to regret trading in that format.
Yeah, as everyone knows and is probably tired of me beating a dead horse about talking about the Panthers and how frustrating they are, I looked at the numbers the other day, and Cam Newton in standard scoring is the second-ranked quarterback.
Yep.
I mean, that's just mind-boggling to me because of just how inconsistent and poor he was in the beginning of the year. You know, he's had the huge games now in the second half. You know, the running obviously pads his stats. I just have a feeling he might be a little undervalued because of that slow start. I don't see him getting drafted as a top five QB. He might be right around the fifth QB taken, but if you can get him in the second round, I think that's still going to be great value, and he's going to have another year of maturation under his belt.
I agree with you. I think today, because people don't realize how well he's actually done, that's probably the mood, but I could see a lot of preseason hype next year. That being said, if he is the fifth quarterback on the off the board, maybe a late second, early third rounder, I think you've got yourself a good one there. Yeah. Sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say, who's going to get picked ahead of him? You got probably Breeze, Rodgers, Brady, maybe Stafford will get picked ahead of him, RG3,
no,
RG probably get picked.
RG, RG3 will get picked ahead of him.
And then Peyton Manning?
No, I think he's probably, I'm sure we're missing one right now off the top of our head, but he's probably the fourth, fifth guy off the board.
Yeah. For this year, Tom Brady 1, Newton 2, RG3 3, Breeze 4, Rodgers 5, Manning 6. I mean, he's going to have to be the fourth, fifth, or sixth taken off. I think he's going to have a great value.
Yeah, absolutely. Next player on your list is Alfred Morris. Now, Shanahan, or the Shanahans, have a reputation of churning through running backs, but I think also if you look back at the history, Mike Shanahan does have a history of holding on to a running back and running him in, not into the ground, but running with him for an extended period if he does have a good running back. Alfred Morris is next on your list. Listen, you know what? I like him. I like the offense. I think the Redskins are actually pretty darn good, surprisingly. Tell me, what's your take on Alfred Morris and why you have him as an up?
I just think he's getting a little overlooked. Obviously, Trent Richardson and Doug Martin have had the more explosive rookie years. You look at his last 5 weeks, 20-plus carries for Alfred Morris, you know, 20 carries more often than not, or, you know, his lowest carry total this year is 13. You know, just a very consistent player. I think he might fall a little bit just because he doesn't have those kind of explosive numbers or that explosive game that, you know, Doug Martin had the huge game and Richardson has had a couple big games in the big plays. I just have a feeling he's getting a little overlooked, or he will be in next year's drafts, and if he is, he's going to be on all my teams.
See, I don't know that he's getting overlooked, but I tell you what, the next guy on your list is actually a guy I think that will be overlooked, because I think he's kind of vanilla, and I think that people don't realize how young he is, and the next guy on your list is Ben Jarvis Green Ellis, and I'm surprised because you were down on the law firm all season, so tell me why you think he's an upplay next year.
Well, I was... I kind of flip-flopped a little bit on him. I liked
kinda?
Him
in preseason.
He ended up on a couple of my teams, and he just had a down little stretch there in the middle of the year, but he just continued to get the ball. And what I really like out of him out of the last few weeks is that he's actually getting a few catches. I know that's not a big part of his game, and it's not really, you know, reaping that many rewards. But, you know, you look at he's got 21 catches on the season, and I think he had 12 or 13 in his career coming into this year. So the fact that they're going to trust him on a few extra, you know, third down sets or passing sets, they're giving him obviously the carries. They're going to have another year of that offense to gel. I think he's someone that's going to be great value, probably fourth or fifth round.
Interesting. You know what? I won't. You're making an argument that you're making me think. I don't think he'll be on any of my teams next year, except as a backup. You know, a backup play with maybe some upside, but I don't know. I hear what you're saying, but not my cup of tea, if you will.
You think he's a backup? He's the 14th ranked running back.
Listen, I don't disagree with what you're saying. I'm just saying that the way I typically draft running backs is, you know, I want to get a stud early if possible, depending on how the rounds play out. But if not, I don't have a lot of guys that are in the 10 to 20 range. I'm either going for high-end talent, or then I'll load up my team with lottery picks later in the draft.
Who would you rather have next year, given if Steven Jackson stays in St. Louis? Green Ellis or Steven Jackson?
Oh, that's interesting. You know, it's really... I'll tell you what. We have to see how it plays out, too, because obviously... I think there's a chance Cincinnati could either draft or bring in a second running back. Because I think that was part of, too, what that team was missing this year. And I think you saw it especially lately with A.J. Green's numbers suffering. But if it was today, I'd rather take Steven Jackson. And I understand the limitations there. And I understand everyone's kind of big on Darrell Richardson. And actually a guy I really like next year, Isaiah Pede. But I think I would still take Steven Jackson in that equation.
Interesting, because the law firms outscored Steven Jackson by 7 points this year. So
I hear you. I'm not disagreeing with that.
Yeah. I know. I mean, obviously, next year is going to be a completely different year. I'm just saying for this year, for comparison.
Yeah. All right. Listen, you're making a good point. Next guy on your list is someone that, again, it's kind of steady, but I don't know that it's an up play next year. Is Darren Sproles of the New Orleans Saints. Make your argument, and then I'll tear it apart.
obviously had the injury this year, and we've seen that those backs that they want to develop just haven't really developed like they hoped. I know Ingram's had a couple of good games sprinkled in here and there, but they're going to want to have Sproles. He was a really big engine for that offense. I think when Peyton comes back to the head coaching role, I think they're going to want to use Sproles in that similar fashion. I think that that offense has suffered from not really having enough deep threats, which they're finally starting to develop with Morgan. But I think that Sproles is just a really big part of that offense and hasn't been utilized as such with the different coaching staff.
I hear what you're saying. I think, one, you're making an assumption that Sean Payton does come back, and I don't know that that's
true.
Given. Two, I think actually, listen, I know a lot of people are down on me on this, but I've been a Mark Ingram supporter. I still think there's upside there. I think he started to just show some of his potential, finally seeing the guy healthy. And the fact that Darren Sproles really is a wide receiver, if you're using him as a flex, okay. But he's also, you know, not that he's old, but he's getting on there in age. And I understand he backed up in San Diego for a while, but I'll be curious to see how that evolves. He's definitely not an up for me. Again, if Peyton does come back, it'll be interesting to see how it looks. A guy I do like for next year, and I think, I don't want to say he's kind of at his ceiling already, is Eric Decker of the Denver Broncos, who you have as the next player on your up for next year. Tell me why you like Eric Decker next year.
I completely disagree that he's at his ceiling. I think he is playing some great football. He and Manning have great rapport. I know he kind of let people down the stretch through weeks 10 and 13, you know, not having a double-digit game. But I think he is just as good as Demaryius Thomas. I think he's a little bit more, I said this in the preseason, more like Marvin Harrison than Demaryius Thomas is. I see big things for him next year.
Okay, let me ask you this. Who would you rather have, him or DT?
Decker. I'm still going to stick with that.
Wow, interesting. See, if you take out the big week last week against Baltimore, he's having a nice season, but he's having kind of a Sidney Rice upside season, you know? And I hear what you're saying. I actually like Decker, and I don't want to be talking him down, but I think if you're going to compare him to Demaryius Thomas, I think Thomas is as close to a Brandon Marshall type as you're going to find in the league right now. So, I mean, to me, it's not even close. I hear what you're saying.
Yeah, I mean, well, you know, you take out one or two of Demaryius Thomas's big weeks, and he's Sidney Rice upside.
Yeah, but he's more physically dominant. I mean, he is an alpha wide receiver, and you know, if I have my druthers, I'm always going to pick the guy who is, the better athlete.
I think Decker is a better all-around wide receiver, but that's just me.
That's why there's chocolate and vanilla. Okay, there's three more ups for this list. We'll just kind of bang them out quick. Just give me a quick comment on each, just for the sake of time. Brandon Lloyd.
I'm getting the targets. Another year with him and Brady. We saw a little bit of some kinks in the system with McDaniels coming back a whole offseason to reassess with Lloyd, McDaniels, and Brady. I think Lloyd has a huge year next year.
Yeah, I don't know. That seems to be, unless you're Randy Moss, a graveyard for deep threat wide receivers.
I think he could be really undervalued too.
I hear that, but you've got, you know, Hernandez and Gronk coming back, plus either Welker or whoever they put back in the slot.
Both those tight ends get hurt all the time.
Interesting. Next on your list, T.Y. Hilton.
I really like Hilton. I have a feeling the hype train might take him a little too high for where I'd want to get him. But he's putting together some great numbers, really consistent second half minus 1 or 2 weeks, with Wayne kind of faltering down the stretch and Hilton obviously getting better. I think he could turn out to be just as good as Wayne next year.
And the last guy you have is someone that is really surprising that I'm seeing him on this list. It's Antonio Brown, because I just don't see him having the upside to justify it. But tell me why I'm wrong.
I think I completely disagree with that. I think he has nothing but upside. People have completely forgotten about him. You know, two touchdowns in the past 2 weeks. You know, it was actually, I mean, yeah, he wasn't playing very well, hasn't had a 100-yard game, but yeah, has a ton of seven or eight reception games. I think a new year is another year, and I think he puts together a really strong one next year, and I think that for his value, that's why he's going to be an up.
All right, I'm going to throw you three names right now. First is I'm going to give you two running backs, and we don't have to go into depth on each of them, but just so I can get my two cents in. One is Isaiah Pede of St. Louis, who I think has a real home run ability. I think everyone got caught up in Darrell Richardson, who I do like, but you made the point about Steven Jackson. We don't know his future. Isaiah Pede, when he touches the ball, can be electric. Another guy in that same vein, we were talking about him as the top running back in college just last year, LaMichael James with the 49ers, especially with that running game in transition. Hunter's going to be coming back from the Achilles. I love Frank Gore, but obviously there's a lot of wear on those tires. LaMichael James, I think when he touches the ball, can be extremely electric. Two guys that I might be reaching for, or not reaching for, but I'll be looking for to get on my team, especially when I feel I can get them, you know, past the 10th round, just because they haven't touched the ball a lot this year. And then this is my guy who I think could be, if there's a wide receiver who had a nice rookie season, who could vault into the upper echelon next year, and maybe in 2 years' time be a guy we're talking as a top five wide receiver in the game. It's going to depend on some things, who the quarterback is, etc., but Josh Gordon from Cleveland.
Yeah, I really like Josh Gordon too, but it really depends on that system. I think that they're going to have to reassess and try to realize that they're going to need to feed Richardson the ball all game. And it might limit his targets a little bit, but I like him. Your two running backs, yeah, they have upside, but I don't know if they're going to really be that fantasy relevant next year.
I hear you, but I'm always looking for a couple. See, here's how I draft. I'll draft my roster. I might draft, depending on if I have an injury-prone starter, I'll draft one of those guys. The rest of my bench is running backs, and then I see who hits. You know, maybe I flip one, maybe I need one, but that's what I try and do, is stockpile as many running backs as possible. And I'm just saying, if there's someone who could be an early season breakout and be a surprise guy, it's those two running backs.
Yeah, they could, but it's, you know, both systems have three running backs right now. I think both would need to have an off-season change.
Listen, I like lottery tickets, okay? Because in Canada, you don't pay taxes. If you win the lottery, you get the straight check. There's no taxation on that.
I need to be playing the lottery in Canada more often.
Seriously. All right, let's get to the flip side. Your 10 downs for 2013. Let's start at the top with RG3, who I'll just tell you right at the top, I think is an easy pick because he looks injury-prone. Not injury prone. Mm-hmm. He puts himself in position to get hurt, but he's a down for you next year. I guess there will be a lot of hype. I think I'm talking myself into the argument.
Yeah, I think you are too. I think he's going to go high to mid first round. I think he's going to have that same sort of hype train that Vic had 2 years ago. I know that's also an easy comparison, but defenses have been able to adapt to running quarterbacks, and I just don't think RG3 is as successful as a pocket passer. And they have a really good backup in Kirk Cousins. If he's even remotely banged up, that they're not going to risk him out there.
The only argument I have for that is I completely disagree that RG3 is not a good pocket passer. I think he absolutely can be. They just happen to like rolling him out because there's all kinds of advantages to it. But I think in terms of pure quarterbacking, he's special.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think he could really disappoint even if he plays a whole year, and just, I don't know, I think he could have a real big sophomore slump, but I think he's gonna be going way too high from where I'd want to draft him.
And that is, I think, exactly the argument. All right, next on the list is Steven Ridley. I do not disagree with you. I guess that's a double negative. I agree with you. but just, yeah. expand on that.
Yeah, we have not seen consistent running back play year to year out of that New England system since I can even remember. You know, Maroney had a couple okay years. Ben-Jarvis Green-Ellis, you know, I don't think he was really consistent 2 years in a row. I think you have to go all the way back to probably someone like Corey Dillon or
something. I was just going to say that.
Yeah, just really, really far back. And if it's any indication from what we saw – on Sunday night, if they're down or feel a good play, a different play is right for that game, he all of a sudden could have no touches. And I think that this year they tried to play a little bit more power football early in the year, and it really helped his numbers. And yeah, he's been good, and he's been pretty good all year, last week notwithstanding. But I think he could really disappoint, and we're going to see a whole another 3 or 4 running back system with Bolden coming back off the injury and Shane Vereen probably working in there too.
I'll tell you this. All you had to say was New England running back committee. End of story. There's your item.
Thanks, Fred. You can be my concise speech writer when I'm like filibustering or something.
Absolutely. Okay. I'm going to throw the next guy out on your list here, but I'll just make a quick comment about him. Earlier this year, I got offered Vic Ballard for Mikel LeShore. And I know it seemed like, that's a quick reject, but I actually thought about it. Again, I consulted you and I consulted Sky. And I said, look, it's a dynasty league. I know LeShore has the more immediate impact because he has the job and a better defined role. And I'm not saying Vic Ballard is going to be a superstar, but I actually like Vic Ballard quite a bit. But you've got Mikel LeShore as a down for next year. Tell me why.
I do. And looking at that trade now with Donald Brown being out, Vic Ballard getting more and more touches and more in that system, I think I would rather have Ballard in a dynasty format. You're going to have Javid Best hopefully coming back. We wish him the best, but his career may be over. We don't know. But just LeShore just isn't a perfect fit for that system unless they're winning. And when they're down, they like throwing to their backs. That's why they like having Joik Bell out there. I don't think Detroit's a very good team. I've been notoriously down on Matthew Stafford. I called him a down last week and he had a terrible game, so I stuck with that one and it was correct. I just think he could be a real ho-hum goal line type back next year.
The only argument I have is that I don't think we saw Detroit's real offense this year. I think there were so many headaches and hiccups there. I'd be curious to see how the whole offense evolves next year. I think there actually might be some undervalued players on that offense. I don't know how to judge LeShore yet. And in fact, that trade is going to stew on me for a little while. But let's move on to the next guy on your list. And it's a guy I'm going to disagree with because I think if you look at it today, it's easy to look at him for maybe a down for next year. But I like Jaquizz Rodgers. So you tell me why you don't think he's going to have a great 2013.
I do too. I like him as a player a ton. And I think he's a great pass catcher and he's a great fit for that system. However, they love Michael Turner. They love pounding the ball and really.
Turner's done. Come on.
You don't have to tell me, but they're feeding them the ball. If Turner, for some reason, is hurt or doesn't play, return next year, they're going to want to have a two-back system, I believe. I think Jaquizz is just going to have so much hype that it's just not going to be a valuable pick.
All right. Next guy on your list is a guy that I want to say I completely agree, yet he keeps proving us wrong. Tell me why Reggie Wayne is a bust in 2012.
A big reason is T.Y. Hilton and his emergence. I really like him next year, and we've seen Wayne really falter. His worst 2 weeks of the year have been in the past 3 weeks. I think defenses are keying in on that Luck-Wayne connection, and it's just going to be, there's one more year of tread on those tires, and I think that Hilton and Avery are going to be, they're going to get not more work, but the same amount of work, and defenses are going to be able to focus on Wayne.
And I think, too, Indianapolis is going to figure out how to better work in both tight ends. I know Allen's already getting a lot of catches, but Fleener has a lot of upside. And also, too, as we speak right now, Reggie Wayne is 34. He's going to be turning 35 next year during the season. So I'll be honest. I'm surprised he had this renaissance year, but I agree with you.
Yeah, and I think people, when they draft and have the 2012 stats up and say, whoa, he hasn't been drafted yet. I think he's just going to go too high.
Yep, I agree with you. Next guy on the list is a guy that I completely agree with, and I don't even know if he should be on the list because I just don't like the guy. And not personally, I'm sure he's a great gentleman, but as a football player, is James Jones of the Green Bay Packers.
Yeah, and just like what I said for Wayne, people are going to pull up James Jones, see the double-digit touchdowns, and be like, oh, double digits on the Packers. Yeah, I just don't see it. He's been there so long and hasn't been a factor, and then, yeah, just has these four or five big weeks this year. I have a feeling that Jennings is going to re-sign with the Packers, and Nelson will be back. Obviously, there's Randall Cobb there, too. I think there's just too many mouths to feed, and he is not as talented as those guys.
Next guy on your list is a guy that, on paper, I would agree with. And I just don't know what's going on with that Baltimore offense, but I know that I don't even know what to say about that Baltimore offense. But Torrey Smith, you're down on next year. And I want to say you're wrong. And I don't think the problem is Torrey Smith. But at the same time, too, that offense is a train wreck. I'm really curious to see who comes in as offensive coordinator there next year.
Yeah, me too. And, I'm 95% sure it's going to be Flacco back there. But there's a chance that there could be a QB change. I mean, it's remote, but I think there's a chance. And, you know, for some a guy having as much talent as he does and gets as many targets as he does downfield and to just not be able to put up the numbers, I don't think, like you said, it's a Smith problem. I think it's an offense problem. And I'm just not going to take the risk that the new regime coming in is going to be able to fix that right away.
Next guy on your list is a guy who made my season miserable this year. Hakeem Nicks played hurt all year, but the upside is so tantalizing. He's going to be healthy next year. So tell me why he's a down for you. I know I'm frustrated.
Why do you say that? Why do you say he's going to be healthy next year? He's never healthy. Chug some of your moose head and forget about it.
I'm out of moose head. Barkeep, need another. No, I'm just kidding. No more moose head for me. We're also going to get into a hockey fight.
I think Victor Cruz is obviously the clear-cut number one. Eli Manning is so frustratingly inconsistent. If you're a Giants fan, you probably are like, duh. I just think his name and upside, like you said, is going to have him get drafted. I could see him going in the fourth or fifth round in a lot of drafts. There's no way I'm going to come close to touching
that. No, come on.
We will see. I have a feeling his ADP, 50s to 60s.
I don't know about that.
Do you
think
that's too low or too high?
Oh, I think that's too high. I think he'll fall farther than that. Unless you're playing in a league with a bunch of New Yorkers.
I could see him getting drafted that high.
The arguably the biggest cluster bomb in the NFL is the Arizona offense. And with all due respect to Ken Wisenhunt, I don't know what... I don't even know. I don't even know where to go to Arizona. Their defense is very good. Their offense is a disaster. And that's not the fault of Larry Fitzgerald, but if Larry Fitzgerald is still in Arizona next year, and I think there's a chance he might not be, I completely agree he should be on your down list for 2012 or 2013, excuse me.
Yeah, he's going to be one of those guys that all of your friends that are hardcore fantasy players won't touch, and it's just going to be who's going to draw first and pick him, and it's not going to be me. I wouldn't pick him in the first 8 or 9 rounds, and someone is going to. You just know someone will.
I bet you he gets traded this offseason.
I don't know. Who would they trade him for? A quarterback?
No, I don't think it's about trading him. I think it's about you have a class act who's been a great member of the franchise. His dad popped off in the media a couple of weeks ago. I think he's frustrated. His contract is a big pill to swallow, but if he came to ownership and said, look, I'd like to move, it's a guy that, again, is so classy, you just have to say, okay. And if you got a third-round pick for him, maybe a fourth, it's not about the return. It's about, you know, trying to salvage your reputation industry-wise.
You want to hear something that'd be really interesting? What if they traded him to the Patriots?
You know, it's funny you say that because as soon as you said, wouldn't it be interesting – to me, it's a place where deep threat wide receivers go to die. But imagine him on, just hypothetically, but imagine him playing opposite an elite wide receiver if he went to Detroit or Cincinnati. I don't know, just something to think about.
Yeah. Hey, you said opposite an elite wide receiver. Bring him to Carolina, opposite Steve Smith.
Hey, you know what? All joking aside, Steve Smith is a speed receiver. Larry Fitzgerald is... I don't want to call him a possession receiver because it's not fair, but he is an elite possession receiver. He would be great there. Man, you imagine Cam Newton throwing Larry Fitzgerald? That'd be exciting.
Yeah, I think that would vault both Cam Newton and Larry Fitzgerald value a lot.
Absolutely. And then the last guy on your list is a guy, I don't know that it's fair to put him on the down list, and that's Kyle Rudolph. And the only reason is that he just didn't get the opportunities, which wasn't his fault. But when he did, he caught the ball and he scored touchdowns. And I don't, he's got 8 touchdowns as we speak on only 434 yards. So if you're saying from a point of view, people are going to see the touchdowns and be down on him. Okay, I understand that. But in terms of his development as a tight end, it's not his fault that Ponder can't get the ball to anybody. So,
but see, yeah, you're right. But Ponder's going to be their quarterback next year.
Well, we don't know that.
I feel pretty confident that they're going to stick with Ponder at least in the beginning of next year. Harvin will be back probably, but there's a chance Harvin isn't. But either way, we've seen Rudolph without Harvin and with Harvin just have mind-bogglingly terrible games, not even getting targets every now and then. I just don't see – I have a feeling, like a lot of my other down picks, that the hype is going to make him be a top 10 tight end pick, and I just won't touch him there.
Interesting. JB, I'm going to miss you this winter, buddy.
I'm going to miss you too, man. I might be a little poor, I will hike up to Toronto and shovel your driveway.
Buddy, you come on up here, no problem. And hey, maybe I'll get down to the Triangle just to get some biscuits and gravy. Ladies and gentlemen,
sounds great.
If you do have some week 16 questions, hit up my man JB on Twitter at JB Gilpin, GILPIN. It was a great first season of fantasy football here on the Razzball Football Podcast. Thank you for joining us. We're going to do lots of new and exciting things, and also check back because we'll be doing baseball podcasts come the spring. But in the meantime, let's go Blue Jays. Dun, 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 dun.
I got to throw in a bookend. Wasn't it great that David Wilson ruined people's playoff aspirations with that performance last week?
All right, bye, JB. Ladies and gentlemen, thanks so much. We'll see you next season.
That kick-ass Razzball Football Podcast theme song you're rocking to right now, that's by Symphony of Nine featuring Juice Jones. We'd also like to thank the staff at Glenmore Records for helping us put this together. If you need quality audio recording done in the city of Toronto, check out glenmorerecords.com.
It's the Razzball Podcast. It's the Razzball Podcast. It's the Razzball Podcast. It's the Razzball Podcast.
Baby, little muscle man.
It's the Razzball Podcast.
Make some regular good friends.
It's the Razzball.
Razzball, baby.